Hello, welcome back to another episode of Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going?
It's going. Yeah. No baby yet, but I'm sure it's going to be soon. So I was glad we were able to get in at least another one of these before my little break. But things are going well at home. Wife's doing well. And SaberSim, I feel like we're in a pretty good spot right now. So I'm feeling lower levels of stress around all of that and can kind of more just focus on the important stuff around the baby, about making sure wife recovers well and all that sort of thing. But so I feel like I'm in a good spot.
Awesome.
Yeah. How are things on your end?
Yeah, man. Good. Yeah. Similar. I feel like we're definitely like going the right direction with like everything. It's really, really nice. Like I have a lot more focus in the company these days. Like, and I just like, I've been really trying to drive it to the rest of the team, and the team is really picking up on it. I shared something in our retreat of something I do not as frequently as I should, but on my good days, I write down in my notebook, like the three things I want to do that day. And like we've talked about before, I think, but like several members of the team have said like, hey, I picked up on the three things, you know, idea, and it's really working great for me. Like lets me get like the most important thing done first before I check email and Slack and all that kind of stuff. So that's cool. I mean, I think it's just like focus is great, like for anyone, especially like kind of the times that we're in, I think with uncertainty and everything with the economy, it's just nice to have, you know, that bit of certainty and focus at work. I've been doing a lot of marketing stuff lately, and I think that's probably what we're going to talk about today. I think we talked about it before, and I forget that what we called it, but like cohesive marketing, you know, maybe is like what I think about. And like, I'll let you kind of take it. But like the idea is like, if the marketing thing you're doing doesn't have like a really defined purpose and structure and even kind of like place in a funnel, like it's not a good idea and you shouldn't be doing it. And it's probably like not just not effective, but bad, right? Because it creates noise and uncertainty to your like prospective customers. But yeah, I think that's what we're going to talk about, right?
Yeah, it's something I've been doing a lot of just brainstorming and thinking the last couple weeks. And a lot of it, yeah, has been on just focusing the marketing strategy. And I think you touched on it. It's probably, I think it fleshed it out a bit more in my head than before. When I talk about like cohesive marketing, it's just making sure everything fits together. And I do feel like going deeper than that, there really should be a funnel. Funnels exist even if you aren't deliberate about it. Like there are stages people go through to become a buyer. And starting with that fundamental idea of having a funnel in place is crucial. It's something that until that's done, you shouldn't be optimizing other pieces of funnel. It's like, no, like get that in place. And to be a little clear on what I mean by the funnel, it's not necessarily as like simple as like the Russell Brunson kind of click funnels, like here's your landing page, and then they click and they get an upsell. I'm more thinking of like the customer journey. And for us, I guess backing up actually, it's saying, okay, when they come in, what step are they in? Like what action are they going to take? And then how can you deliberately at least encourage them to go to the next step? Because especially, I don't think it's necessarily only in bootstrap companies, but I think in just small software companies and small businesses, this is lacking. It's like almost you just hope through osmosis that people are going to move to that next step, but you're not really doing anything to actively encourage that or bring them there. And so it's like, okay, yeah, we can create a ton of content for the blog, get a lot of traffic, and then we just have like a free trial offer. Like, what happens then? Like, what about the 98% of people that don't sign up for that, probably maybe even higher? Okay, like what else can we do? Like what are we doing there? And it goes back into figuring like, okay, like what objections are you going to have? Why aren't they signing up for that? How can we overcome those objections and then get them to the next step? And for us, what's missing as far as like from someone not knowing about us to someone being one of our highest paying customers, like the two biggest pieces missing are not having a real lead magnet, like a real offer on the site other than the trial. And I think we still want to lead with the free trial offer because it's a free trial. Like it's not that high of a barrier to entry. So I don't think you want to set up too many barriers to that. Like you want to pitch that right out of the gate because a lot of people are just like, okay, yeah, I'll sign up right now, but it requires a credit card. And so we should have something else to warm people up to get them ready for that. And the other thing is we don't do any upsells post purchase. So it's like once they become a customer, they get our emails, but we don't have like a dedicated campaign to say, okay, hey, we saw you using these features. So it seemed like you're active, at least. Like, this is obviously not the language we'd use, but it's like, we don't have any way to trigger emails that would say, hey, we think these things on the other tiers would be useful to you. Here's why. And like, actively try to move them there. So really want to get that in place and then go back and optimize the different stages. And without getting into all those details, yeah, I just feel like really prioritizing the funnel and having all the steps in place makes it much easier to prioritize just what we're doing day to day. Because I just always have a ton of ideas for like different content we can do and different like things we can create, and we want to do them. And like, but it's just, that's one part of the process. And there's other parts that there's just huge holes in the funnel right now. And so rather than creating all these new initiatives that we got to figure out and have to add to the content calendar and everything else, it's like, no, like, let's just get the basics in place. Maybe we can do these down the road. But even then, we have to ask ourselves, okay, what will be the impact of this? What part of the funnel is it helping? How much effort will it be? And like, is that where the effort is most needed? But yeah, kind of a little bit of a brain dump there, but that's sort of where my head's at. And I just feel like it's important to just keep that in mind and just say, okay, why do we write X number of articles a month, a week, whatever else? Like, why are we creating this webinar? Why are we doing things? And if we do it, how does it fit in with everything else that we're doing? Like, how are we making sure it actually moves people along?
I think it's really important. I think it's actually much harder to do than people give it credit for. Yeah, I don't know what the right term is, but like, the most people think, because almost every piece of content on your site is different and has like a different job. And that, like, that's where we are in this process, is like, we have like the nurture sequence in place. And the problem is, it's like a one size fits all. And like, probably like you, we have a bunch of different types of customers at different points in their kind of like podcasting journey or customer journey with different goals. And so we're kind of saying right now, like, okay, you know, out of all of our content, there's probably like, say, 4 or 5 personas of people who would be interested in like reading these articles. And so we should have 4 or 5 different nurture sequences that talk about like how to grow your audience or how to monetize your show or how to like pitch our production services. And I think that that's, to me, that's the thing that like, understanding like the kind of holistic funnel of like, hey, we want to pitch like, or have the CTA on the site, the primary CTA, to be like start a trial. But that's assuming that that person is ready to rock. And that's the vast, vast minority of website visitors. And so like the backup kind of CTA or the secondary CTA is like, hey, yeah, whatever lead magnet offer nurture sequence that you want, those folks who aren't ready to sign up for a free trial today, like, how can you engage them some other way to nurture them and get them into signing up for a trial later when they know you and trust you and are ready to take that step? It's not one solution. That's where we are in this, is like, we're creating several of these to be able to talk more specifically to people on these posts. And it's like, it's not that much work, right? It's like, you got to write like 5 more emails for each of these couple of use cases, and then like have a different form on the site for each of them. So it's like a couple of days of work, but I think it's just like, we're hoping it'll really help. The metrics from our end is like, trials will change over time, but like email signups through these forms will start increasing, and then they'll be converted through email later to trials, is like how we're looking at it.
Spots where I've gotten stuck in this before is identifying too many different segments. Because sure, there might be a lot of different possible types of people coming to you. There probably are. And you need to figure out, like, each one has different value. Each one has different number of people in it. Each one has different willingness to buy, which kind of goes with the value. And the biggest thing I've done with my thinking on this is just simplifying it to, okay, what is the one, maybe two, what are the one or two things that, knowing this, like, at what questions can I ask that if I know the answer, it's like more than the 80-20, where it's like, okay, like, sure, there are nuance to each of these, but I can very accurately say what their pain points are and what they're going to want in the product for us. So Right Message is made by a couple other guys in our world, Brennan Dunn and Shai Schechter. And Space, just, I don't know why other, Optin Tools is another story, but like, they're just horrible, where OptiMonster, Sumo, all these other ones, they're so hard to customize and you just can't do that much with it. And they're just super complicated without giving much power. Right Message, their main angle is allowing you to just offer more dynamic offers where it's like you can do a quiz and based on the answers in that quiz, it'll give them a different offer or send them a different page or whatever else it would be. And so originally it was like, okay, here are like the five questions I can bring them through to get a complete idea of where they're coming from. But it's like, well, these people aren't that different. And this was one of the mistakes I made at Groove is just like segmenting too far when it's just like, then you're writing out this campaign. It's like, these aren't that different. And by asking more questions, it's less like I'm going to get the answers or it's going to be harder for me to figure it out through other metrics. And so for us, ultimately, like, I just care how many lineups you typically build when you play DFS. I could ask you if you use another optimizer. I could ask what sports you play. I could ask all these other things. But the biggest deciding factor is how many lineups you build. Because if you're just building a few, you're going to have different concerns than someone building 100. But I can also kind of back out of that. Like if you're building, some people who build three lineups might use an optimizer. Most probably won't. But no one building 100 lineups is doing it by hand. And so I can just assume, okay, like this is where they're coming from and give them different content for that. And the other point is just, I wasn't as clear on about this when I was talking before, but it's when I think about the funnel, like the cohesiveness, it's not just like making sure you have an offer there. It's carrying that thread through everything else that happens from it. So, okay, we're asking this. And that way we can present a piece of content, like probably a short video that solves a pain point of theirs and sets up SaverSim as like the solution. Then they can get in the trial. Once they're in the trial, though, I need to carry on that theme through the emails and everything else I'm trying to do. It's like, I know who they are. I know what problem they're trying to solve. I know where they're at. And I think like for some of the segments, the personas you identified, some of them aren't like the trial's not the right pitch for a very long time. Because it's like, okay, if they say they need this, but getting that doesn't mean they're going to need a podcast host, then like, okay, like I shouldn't just pitch us yet because I know enough to pitch the right thing.
In like Drip or ActiveCampaign or whatever they're using, how are you doing that? Is that tags or custom fields or what? Like, what are you doing to like label these like personas or interests or whatever?
Tags or custom fields. I forget. Right Message integrates with Drip. And I forget if it's through tags or custom fields or both, but I think it might be custom fields. And then I can like have a rule in Drip that adds a tag to that person. It's like, okay, store the answer as a custom field and then put them into like the persona bucket using a tag. And then in the trial, it's one, you give them different nurturing content, but two, you're then pitching the trial in a way that is congruent with the nurturing content. And then once they're in the trial, you're focusing on the right thing. So someone who is getting into the weeds a bit, but like someone who's building a few lineups at a time, typically that's going to be because they either don't know about the tools to allow building more, but even if they do, like they're using us, they're aware these tools exist. They feel like they lose control and they're like, I don't think I can build 20 good lineups. Whenever I tried, they look bad. And so rather than trying to convince them that they're wrong, it's first saying, okay, here's how to use SaverSim to just build, you're building three lineups. Here's how to get better lineups with that. And then once you get that down, all right, like here's how to scale that process a little bit more without losing the control you want. Whereas people building a lot of lineups want control, but in almost in a more advanced way, like, they're not thinking about lineups individually. They're thinking about the fundamentals of a lineup, like how many players from the same team are in each one, this kind of thing. And so the trial needs to be trying to get them to do different things in different orders in order to get them activated. And so that's like, that's really, I think, one, most businesses are missing a funnel of any kind, but almost all businesses miss that cohesiveness of just, okay, here's what got you in here. What do I know about you? How do I get you to the next step? And like keep that thread going. And I feel like on your end, the simplest question is, do you have a podcast? Because if you don't have a podcast, then sure, like some people might not have an idea for one. They might have an idea, but they don't know how to get started. They might have equipment but don't know how to book interviews. Like, there's a lot of like sub things in there that you probably want to flesh out. But if they have one, okay, like they already have a host then at that point. And so where do you fit in? Why should they care about what you have to say? Like, what are the things you can help them with? And if they don't, how do you help them launch a podcast? Because until they have that podcast, they're not going to become a customer. And I feel like, yeah, it's simplifying it in that way without, you want the segmentation without going too far, but you want to carry it through. This long-winded way of summarizing what I'm getting at.
Yeah. We used Right Message for a long time and actually just recently stopped using it because I find the asking of the question is too, like, if you only get one chance to like engage with someone and you're just asking them for something, you know, instead of just offering something to them, like I want to take that chance to make the assumption. And this is just where like our approach differs a little bit. Like, if you're on a how to start a podcast blog post, you don't have a podcast, you know, and so we're just pitching that off or we're not asking that question. And we actually just are moving to using the drip forms again. They're actually pretty decent now. So kind of doing the same thing that you're talking about, but more like topically based on the blog than the same widget on every page asking a question that the customer then has to like, or the lead or whatever website visitor has to do some work for me to be able to give them the right thing. I'm trying to make assumptions based on like the topic of the post. Like, they want to start a podcast, they want to grow their audience, they want to monetize, they want to do these like four things, and just pitching that. And like, we'll probably be wrong some of the time, but that's the approach we're taking.
That fits with what I'm getting at, is that if the fewer segments you have, the easier it is going to be to use other data sources other than literally asking the person who they are to put them in the bucket. And because you like, for us, we don't, our content, at least as of now, is more broad, where by consuming the content, it's not as clear what your needs are. But you guys have a much, you have a super fleshed out blog with topics on a bunch of things. I mean, I think that is consistent with what I'm getting at, is that if you have content that lets you segment the customer without asking them, and you have a high degree of certainty around it, yeah, absolutely do that. For us, a lot of ours, our videos, our content is not, it's just broader and just like hard, like anyone could be watching this. As we get into more advanced topics, that's different. But right now, like, our content hasn't been as focused, I guess, on like specific things that we know this type of person is going to care about. And yeah, so I think that makes a lot of sense. And but it, at the other thing is just like a little bit of pushback is, it's not, shouldn't be a binary decision of what offer do we promote. I mean, right now for us, like, it is, I guess, in the top right of our site, we have like a start trial button and then we have a pop-up. But on a blog post, you can have different offers in the content. You can have a little toaster widget that's something different. So you don't want to have to think of it as like a, as all or nothing kind of a thing. But yeah, I think like by far the quickest one you would get would be going to the highest traffic pages that are very clearly putting people in one category or the other. And like the podcast equipment, yeah, there might be some people who want to upgrade their equipment, but most of the people looking for that don't have a podcast yet. They're in the earlier stages.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, I don't know what the right answer is on this. I'd love your thoughts. Like, we do like have CTAs in line in our content, and I think we manage them kind of smartly. Like, we manage them through like reusable blocks in WordPress, right? And so like, if we want to make a change to the like inline monetization CTA block, we do it once and it goes everywhere, which is cool. But what's interesting is we kind of cascade our CTAs through the content, right? Like, the first one is always like the most important. That's not always starting a trial. Like, on some, it's like, hey, talk to our sales team about like a podcast launch package. And then it's like transcription. Did you know you can automatically transcribe your episodes, blah, blah, blah. And then it might be start a trial. To me, like, I want to put the most, like, what I think the most important or the best outcome we could hope from a visitor first, and then the next best, and then the least good. So I don't know. And I don't know if that's right, or if you should have three of the same one at like three different spots throughout the content. I don't know. How do you think about that? Because that's something we struggle with and kind of flip-flop on.
Yeah. And you can definitely get into over-optimization there. Generally speaking, you want the offer to be as in the content to be as relevant to the content as it can be, because otherwise there's just a disconnect of like, I'm scrolling, like, oh, like this has nothing to do with what I'm reading. And so I don't know, like my default would be, and this is like, I don't do any of these things, but because we don't really have much of a blog, but this would be, if I were to do it from scratch and had a blog, I would probably keep what's in the article itself, like on the page, to be as closely relevant to the article. And it could be a different offer. Like it could still be for the same kind of thing, but you just want to at least update the copy to position it as like relevant to what they're reading right then. And then I think you could experiment with like a toaster widget or things on the side that are a little bit different, but you don't want to have it too crowded either. So I don't know. Doing one the same all the way through is fine as long as it's relevant, but I have no idea. I think that's the thing where it's like, I can definitely get into like, the more complicated you make it, the harder it is to just make progress and to track and everything else. And that's usually like where my brain goes. I'm like, oh, well, this is different than that and everything else. And I was like, well, sure, but does it really matter? That's kind of where we've been at. A lot of what my focus is going to be on is building out that, be as simple as a write message offer survey, where just ask that one question. And you can work on the copy to actually make it like not, like it convert reasonably well. And I think with that in place, then it's, you give them an offer to some content, but it could also even just be, and write message is cool where you can set up almost a workflow of the opt-in where first time someone lands, I could pitch them the trial. If they come back a second time, I could then pitch them the content offer. But I don't know. I think there's a lot to figure out there. And then it's like, okay, now we have to, as far as get those pieces in place. And then it's like the optimizations come of, yeah, now I do need to rewrite the trial emails to keep those threads going. I have to think about the in-app experience. I have to think about all the other stuff, but it at least simplifies to say, yeah, there's a bunch of other content initiatives we want to do. And we also want to make our videos like a little bit higher production quality, but it's like that's an optimization of something that just doesn't matter. But these other things are definitely going to be the priority. So I'm excited to see how it all comes together. But yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's a good topic. I think I'd love to hear folks' thoughts on it. If they're doing this any better or different than we are, I'd love to hear about it. You know, shoot us a message, podcast@seekingscale.com. And if anyone has topics to suggest for Andy and I to cover, shoot us a message there. We'd love to hear it as well. And awesome. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, everybody.